Blog Talk Radio.
With our sound system, and you guys can hear us clearly. This is Wardell Potts, and I have my brother Phoenix on the line. What's up, Phoenix?
Hey.
Oh, Phoenix, where are you? You sound far away.
A lot of wind. All
yeah.
Right, let me come inside.
He's trying to do something different, y'all. He's trying to get ready for us. But it's all good. I love it. Anyway, let me get going here. I just want to say hello to all of our friends around the world. May God bless you, and I hope you are well, and God is keeping you. We are just going to have a good time today, chopping it up in regards to our topic today, which is really a very special topic, you know, especially for me.
Okay.
Let me see if I can help Phoenix out right here, because he's trying to relocate here. Let me mute his mic for a second. We just want to talk about this topic, which is touching. It's special, and one second, I got a message from my partner here. Let me see what he's saying. So much going on here. There's so much going on. Let's see, make sure we're sound. Okay, sounds okay, but not Phoenix. Okay, yes, so we're working on that right now. But let me see if Phoenix is back now and bring him in. Phoenix, are you back?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right, he's there. I'm going to bring this music down a little bit so we can hear him better. But anyway, I hope you guys are doing good. Today we want to talk a little bit about, you know, about how people look at others and how they respond to them. The topic of the show, This Is It, is why are some people insensitive to people who are different? And man, oh man, I mean, I'm gonna let Phoenix start off with this one, because I have a lot to say. Thank you. Thanks, Greg. I have a lot to say about this, and let's get Phoenix's thoughts on this. So Phoenix, just from the very beginning, when we first started talking about this, you were like, oh yeah, I can talk about this. So why don't you share with the listeners?
There's a wide variant of things, everything from multiculturally to sexual orientation to social economic positioning. to even tribal or religious inferences or interpretations. So it's a broad topic, but, you know, doing my research, I came across some just totally invaluable, totally, totally valuable things that we can utilize in our day-to-day life, particularly post-COVID, because our world has changed. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, insensitivities, there's really no place for it today because people have had to alter their lives, their perceptions. So it's a great topic to discuss today. It arms us with the ability to make that change, like MJ said, right? Make that change with the man in the mirror. The
yes.
first thing that I wanted to bring to the audience's attention, it mentions that there's usually something lacking. And we can have, in the inverse, a sensitivity towards those who have insensitivities because usually it's something that they're lacking within their own personal framework. It might be insecurities. It might be the instability of the time. So let's work with that. Let's talk about it and let's see what we can come up with, keeping it positive, something that we can nurture our souls with and move forward in a positive, progressive way.
Okay.
That's the goal.
All right. So, Mr. How do you want to do this?
Huh?
Is there anything you want to share about this, or do you want me to start?
Well, yeah, I mean, initially I said what's interesting is that there's usually people have an insensitivity. It could simply be an insecurity. Maybe it's something about the culture or lifestyle that you don't know. So we might say as a subheading, it might be key to arm yourself with knowledge. Knowledge is key. Once you understand the differences and once you take yourself out of the equation, get out of the way of yourself, then you can begin to be less insensitive towards those that are going through similar things as you, perhaps just from a different vantage point.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that it is very insensitive for people to be insensitive about others that are different than them. And we're not just talking about race. You know, we could be talking about, you know, people with handicaps. People seem to be really very insensitive to people that are not like them, and they don't have any particular reason. I mean, at least they probably do, but I don't know what it is, and it drives me crazy when you see people that just don't care about other human beings. And this is not just about human beings, but what I'm talking about is about human beings. And what I discovered was that people are generally insecure, and they need to look down on others to lift themselves up. You know,
right.
they just, and it's really sad. I have to say that also a lot of it is that we are a product of our environment as well. And so,
so
if we grow up with parents that are a certain way, we use the, you know how they say we grow into our parents? They kind of teach us this way of being. And so that's how we end up being. And until we start to take control of it. And it's so crazy because as young people, you know, we don't even like, if we get to a certain point in our life, we don't even like our parents, kind of. You know, it's not that we don't like them. It's just that because they're our boss and they're running us, it's like, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't, you know, and the kids start to lean towards what other kids are feeling, and they come together as a little group of, you know, people against the parents, right? And so, but eventually we end up growing right into the very same people that raised us that we were so against. And so I believe that we are a product of our environment, and we have to really, really pay attention to how we are navigating in this journey that we all.
Yeah. And, you know, while you were speaking, I was thinking of my own personal circumstance as being a fellow footstep follower of the Christ. As you know, I'm a firm believer in the Christ and as he set the path for us to follow. But picking on just Christians for a second, you know, sometimes we can be the worst critics because we become so hypersensitive to everybody that doesn't follow our credo. And, you know, we might be in the company of a Muslim. You know, we might be in the company of a non-believer. We might be in the company of someone that follows a different regimen, a different culture. And so the first thing I thought about was we have to loosen our bootstraps, loosen our collar, you know, exhale and allow people to be different within the scheme of things, not that we are judge and jury, but we have to relax. You know, sometimes, you know, you can have, like you mentioned, you raised under a certain culture. You know, I know my parents, my dad particularly was a disciplinarian. He wasn't a Christian. He was a scientist. My mother was like a home body. She was like the Dr. Phil of her time. Maybe I get some of that from her. She used to listen to Dr. Joyce Brothers. That was a psychologist. And she was so calming and so, oh, my mom's was just, I was so fortunate to have her as a mother. So sometimes we have to relax. I think you do a great job with that, Wardell. You have a, I love your disposition. It's different than mine. I'm a little more on 12 cylinders, you know. You're like a six-cylinder economy, easy driving, middle of the road listening to. At least sometimes that's my perception. I mean, you're just a real cool brother. And I love that about you because you disarm people through your ministry. Your ministry, you disarm people who are armed, who are upset, or who need your assistance. You allow them to be different. And what an example for us to follow. That's a, you know, to disarm someone, to allow someone the ability to be who they are without being judgmental. It takes a lot of growing on our part, something to grow on, you might say.
Yes. You know, I think that, you know, I mean, and so this is the thing. I mean, you know, you have people that are like that with people that are gay. They're very insensitive with, you know, people that don't move the way that they move. They're insensitive people that are transvestites. They're insensitive to people that are black. They're insensitive to people that are white. They're insensitive to people that are Asian. And we just had this really terrible thing going on. And thank you, Lord, that people, excuse me, that people stop hurting Asian Americans here in the United States. It was kind of crazy for a minute. It started over there. I'm not sure where it started, but I remember some of the baddest stuff happened in Atlanta, Georgia, and what they were blew up a building or something with Asians were in. It's just like, what is going on? And a guy went in there and just started shooting people in a salon or something. And so it's like, how do you get into the mentality of people that are so angry because other people are not like them? And so if you're not like me, something must be wrong with you. Even in our own politics, where I heard a Republican lady say, I can never talk to a Democrat again. I'm like, are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
You know what's interesting? I'm laughing. I don't mean to laugh or to downplay it, but one of the things, the second most obvious thing that I came across in my research was we live in the information society. People Google this, they Google that, they're in the middle of a date, while they're having the date, they're checking out this person's backdrop. And one of the things that it brought as a sub-conversation to this research that I was looking at is that people today feel very free in terms of voicing their negative opinion. Like someone will come, some athlete with the Olympics, and they've done some great things. And then there'll be a slew of negative commentary, people who don't even work out, which is so interesting to me. You know, this is not your course of study. This is not what you do. Somebody has, you know, exposed their feelings within the social media. And now there's a plethora of people that feel validated to come forward with negative speech. And so this is the time that we're living in. People feel it's just okay to say these vile and negative things about people who are in public, in the public domain, you know. So we have to be careful that we don't fall victim. You know, it's almost like Simon says, somebody says something negative. Hey, let me add on to the negative discussion. You have to be careful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I'm hurt in on the inside. I don't show it on the outside, but I'm hurting on the inside for my fellow brothers and sisters around the world that we have to deal with people, because I have to deal with it. I've been dealing with this all my life. Even as a child, I had to deal with it because I was a black man that was in places that people didn't think I should be. And I was innocent. I was so innocent. I had no idea that these people were feeling this way, but they would leave signs around for me to know that I shouldn't be hanging around with these white kids. And so these are adults dealing with children in that way, which is just so disgusting. I got to tell you this story. There was a young lady, and she said to her grandma, "Grandma, can I have another piece of cake?" And this is at a church. And she says, "Grandma, can I have another piece of cake?" And her grandma says, "Sure, baby, go in the kitchen and ask them to give you another piece of cake." And so she goes into the kitchen, and the lady that's in there looked at her, and she says, "Oh, can I have another piece of cake, please?" And the lady looked at her and said, "You already had a piece of cake." And she gave it to her anyway, and she rolled her eyes at her. And the little girl came back and says, Grandma, I got the cake, but the lady was so mean, she rolled her eyes at me. She was mad at me. She says, why is she a Christian? I mean, why does she come to church if she's going to treat people like that? Now, that question about a grown 60-year-old woman who should know better. Right? Who should know better? You're talking to a child, and you're treating a child like this. It's like, why
are
people?
That's why I inserted about Christians. I said sometimes we are hypersensitive, and we can be feeling. You know, they say fellow footstep follow, and they always show someone following someone in the sand or in the snow. And if you ever try to follow someone in the snow, their gait, their distance, the way they hit the snow is different. So you can be close, but no cigar. And so even as Christians, we can be close to following the Christ, but no cigar. And sometimes we have to allow for those differences. This woman, although she was a Christian, her imperfections she allowed to manifest, and unfortunately, in the direction of a little child. Is it wrong? Absolutely. Does it happen every single day? And because we're Christians, we're not impervious to it. We think certain thoughts and certain things, and depending upon our social mores, you know, we might be athletic. We might have an issue with somebody who is heavyset. We might be in a position of hiring, and because somebody has a few extra pounds and we think, hey, we're a yoga instructor or we're physically fit, that this person is not worthy. We don't sometimes take the time to think about this person is a human being. This person has a life. This person probably has a family. They have bills. They have rent. They have car notes, et cetera. And someone who's going to be judgmental just because of their difference, you and I know, Wardell, that's unacceptable. But how do we get to the point we need to ask, how do we get to the point where we can differentiate? How can we get to the point where we disarm people like that in a way that it can be productive? That's what I would like to hear from the audience. What can we do to disarm people or perhaps give them a better vantage point as to why this is inappropriate?
Okay, so
you even have law enforcement. You even have law enforcement guys that go out and they work with a partner. One dude is a good cop, and the other dude is a bad cop. How do you disarm them?
I think you're breaking up. You're starting to sound like a robot a little bit. I don't know if you moved or you stayed in the same spot.
Is this any better?
It could be me. I'm waiting for the producers to tell me if it's me or if it's you. One second. Yes, it is. It's something, I think. Okay, I'm not sure what that. Hold it. Here it comes now. I just want to make sure that people can understand us. So give me a second.
Okay,
make
cool.
Sure. Breaking up. Yes, you're breaking up a little bit. So if you could do your best to, you know, make sure you're not breaking up.
Well, I'm stationed. I'm in my office. Is this any better?
No, it's the same. It's the same. I tell you what we should do is just take a small break, and then and we'll fix that. We'll take a little small music break, and then we'll come right back so that we can, you know, because this is such an important topic, and what you're talking about, I mean, what you're sharing is important as well. So listen, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be right back with Phoenix and Wardell Potts on This Is It. Give us a second here. Wow, what a great song, man. I love the way Karen White is singing on that one right there. Man, oh man, superwoman. But anyway, so we have Phoenix back, and I'm back. And so, Phoenix, do you remember where you were when you were trying to share out?
Sure. Okay. We were talking about insensitivities, and we touched upon Christians sometimes that can have a hypersensitivity, and although they may be fellow footstep followers of the Christ, as in trying to follow someone in the sand or in the snow, it's a difficult thing to do. And so, unfortunately, the story that you presented with the little girl in the cake, this adult unwittingly, even though she was a Christian, she manifested her imperfections, which is so atypical today. My thought was, how can we learn from that? And how can we disarm someone that does something like that to help them appreciate how out of pocket that is, how, you know, it's unacceptable, you know, from the child's vantage point, could be permanently scarred by having that type of experience. So what can we do to help people understand how inappropriate that is? How could we disarm them?
Yes, and I mean, that is the question of the day. I mean, how do you disarm people that are so toxic in their movements? I mean, like my friend said that, you know, a Christian told him that, you know, that you will be saved, but because you are gay, that you will be rejected. You are, because you are acting on it. It destroyed him, he said. And, you know, I also have a nephew that's gay, and he called, and he was very, very broken. And he said, you know, I don't know if God is going to accept me or not because I am this way. And, you know, my wife said to me, so what do I say to him? I said, we are not here to judge anyone. Once we do that, then we fall into the same category as everyone else. We cannot judge. It's our job to love people as God loves everyone. And one sin is not worse than the other. God loves everybody. And so,
I mean, who is worse than King David, what he did?
Exactly. I mean, that's right.
You know, David did some pretty heinous things.
I mean, he's killing people. Yeah, killing people to get their wives and doing all kind of crazy stuff he did.
So we might say, Wardell, that one of the things we can do is lead by example. Mm-hmm. And I always, you know, extend my gratitude to you as a human being, because you have, whether or not you realize it or not, you have healed my heart several times. And it was just the gracious way that you spoke. I could tell it was coming from a loving place, and you know, your advice was seasoned with salt. And so one of the ways that we can disarm people is lead by example. Sometimes you don't have to say, you did this wrong and you need to do it my way. That person needs to see you in action with a person under a similar circumstance. And they say, wow, look how Wardell handled that. He's a mature guy. Look how he handled. So leading by example is one way to disarm somebody without them even feeling like you corrected them.
Right, yeah. They just became aware of a better way.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes it's just language. Sometimes people say stuff. You know, I'm in a world, I'm, you know, same as you, I'm 63. And I'm in a world where people use profanity. And one of the words, I hate the F-bomb. I can literally say hate is a strong word, but God uses it too. I really despise the F-bomb because it's so guttural. And its acronym is really, you know, fornication under Christ the King, which a lot of people don't know. But it usually offends me. It's like, ouch, when I hear it in my ear, especially coming from a loved one or from my wife or someone of the opposite sex. And what I try to do is show them alternative things to say. Like, I could tell a quick story. I had a gentleman that used to use the F-bomb all the time. And every time he used the F-bomb, I would take my pointer finger and flick my ear. And so he said, what's the matter? Is there a fly in the room? I said, no. I'm going, ouch. I was just kept doing it with my finger. Every time he said the word, I flicked my finger over my ear. And so he said, well, you know, and he was Jamaican. He said, that's just my culture, man. Me express myself this way. So I said, cool. I said, well, maybe a better way, every time you want to curse, say apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. So he looked at me like I was crazy. What do you mean? So I said, next time you have an urge to curse, substitute it for apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. And I guarantee you, by the time you get to peaches, you're going to start laughing and you're going to totally forget. So he would go, ah, apples, peaches. And he'd start laughing. He'd say pumpkin pie. And to quicken the story, years later, I ran into him.
Uh-huh.
And he ran into me in the supermarket and he grabbed me because he was a big guy. He grabbed me and he lifted me off the ground and he said, man, you saved me marriage. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you remember you told me to say apples, peaches, pumpkin pie? My wife hated me cursing around the kids. And he said, and you cured me because every time now I want to curse, I say apples, peaches. And she said she couldn't wait to meet this guy that stopped her husband from using profanity because people think that's just the norm. But they don't realize some people have acute sensitivities to those aggressive words. And, you know, we're musicians, so we hear that all the time. And it brought out an ugly side of me, and I didn't want to go there anymore. I used to curse like a drunken sailor. So that's just one way.
Well, I just also have to, you know, give props to the man that listened to your suggestion, right? That was key
in the
transformation because he at least tried. He tried and it worked. If he didn't try,
benefited his marriage. He said
exactly. You know, and so that's one of the other things that we, you know, have to tap into that part of the humanity to get people. To try another way, to try, you know, to
try another way.
Yeah, because we, like I said, you know, when we are naturally insecure, and we put other people down to lift ourselves up, and so we have to, you know, recognize that first of all, and try a different way so that we don't affect or offend people, because some people. Literally do not care. They don't care that they offend people. And so those are the ones that it's going to be more difficult to get to. But eventually, I mean, they're human too, and they feel certain things. And to that note,
is sometimes it's not that they don't care, but people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And that's effective. You know, when somebody, they even say even a wild animal responds to beautiful music because it calms the savage beast in them. And typically, birds of a feather flock together. You know, when you were in high school and you'd come to the lunchroom and, you know, all the Jamaicans sat in one area, all the Haitians sat in another, all the Hispanics sat in another area, you know, all the cool kids and the Barbie dolls sat in one, all the black kids sat in another. And it was so disarming because it was like, wow, why do people naturally? But birds of a feather flock together. Sometimes we can't help it. Yeah. But when all of a sudden some nerdy kid comes in and he's not even cool, he doesn't even understand the social structure, and he's just trying to find a place to sit down so he can have his lunch. So he goes and sits over there with the cool kids, and they're looking at him like,
what are you doing?
Are you crazy? Don't you know your place? And then he sits down and says, hey, man, can you pass me the ketchup? Hey, do you want my biscuit? Because I'm not probably going to eat this. And they go, yeah, I want that biscuit. You know, the biscuit's gold. Then they go, you know what, kid? You're cool. What did the kid do? He dared to be different. Maybe he wasn't even aware that he was being different.
Right. Right, but to
change
everyone
the
else.
It happens.
Yep, absolutely. Well, here I have a question for you. Do we change ideology with laws or education?
I think it's a combination thereof. You know, there's no substitute for knowledge. You know, you either know it or you don't. I mean, I remember when I was going to school, my dad was an educator, and, you know, there were different courses of study he said you could take. But he was a strong preponderant of the natural sciences, because you go to take a math test, 1 and 1 is 2. It's not 3. It's not what you think. It's not like you can come up with an essay and say something different. So, yes, knowledge is very important to be able to ascertain or differentiate music. You know, a chord that is dissonant or a chord that doesn't fit the G minor scale. When people hear it, they say, "Ah, what is that rock you just hit? It's in disharmony." But what if you don't know? Right? You have to know it.
Right,
or
right.
You may not know theory, but you're going to feel it.
Yes.
So I don't know if that answers the question, but I think at the root of all things is an awareness and a knowledge of, because only then can you make a change, in my humble opinion.
Yes. Well, you know, we appreciate your opinion. Laws wouldn't be necessary if we had knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question or a statement from one of the listeners. Laws wouldn't be necessary if we had knowledge. And I think that some of that's true, but, you know, certain people still need discipline.
Well, the great lawgiver, you know, if you think of who is the greatest lawgiver, like if you take the word, I love etymology, which is the study of words, and they say authority, the word authority comes from the author of authority. And even in modern sense, when you go to Supreme Court, in the back it says, "In God we trust," or "Place your hand on the Bible," because he's the author of all authority. And even the Supreme Judge says, "By the powers vested in me." And that vesting comes from the author of all things, which is God, which is behind his chair. So, yes, he is the greatest lawgiver, but I thought it was interesting when he approached the Jews, and they were just, they had these frontlet bands. They had these bands that were in front of their head that was the law. It was written as the law on their head. And Jesus says, well, which one of you, in terms of the Sabbath and your bull, was caught in a ditch? Yes, it's the law that you shouldn't do work. But would you leave your bull, which is your means of livelihood, in a ditch to die? This was Jesus. He says, use common sense. Of course you would rescue your bull. Now, some of the religious men of that time constituted that as work. But Jesus was saying, use your head.
Right.
Your bull is caught in the ditch. Get the bull out the ditch. So let's change that in modern sense. Your Dodge Ram truck is stuck in a ditch, and you follow the Sabbath. So you're going to leave your truck, your $60,000 truck, in a ditch and forget about it until Monday morning or Sunday afternoon? No. Jesus says use your common sense. So law is the ability to see what is required, but also use your human interest, not to break the law, but to make concessions where it's necessary. And this was the son, the greatest son that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't saying to break the law. He says, I'm king of the Sabbath. He says, I know you've heard, you know, return eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He said, but truly I say to you, return anger to no one.
Yes.
It wasn't that he was breaking the law. He was saying, could we look at this different now that we've added kindergarten and we're entering first grade? Can we share our pencil now? Could we?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so, you know, so what you're saying is knowledge is absolutely the key, right?
Absolutely.
But also with knowledge, you need wisdom. you know,
wisdom, common sense.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have those other tools as well with knowledge.
Humility.
Yes, yes. Humility is a good one. It's a
the
good
ability
one.
To
so
be
important.
Flexible and say, you know what, I don't know everything.
Right.
That's okay you know, I don't know.
And it's okay to have a revelation in a
That's
situation,
right.
You know, to go, oh, you know what? I never thought about this, how this would hurt you. But now, I because I care about you and I see it's hurting you, maybe I'll change my ways. Because
I've done marriage counseling, and one of the things that's so disarming about helping two people that go in different directions, even if you're going through something at that time yourself, is the ability to disarm yourself, is the ability to be humble, flexible, and say, you know what, I don't know, but I was thinking, maybe you did something to contribute to the problem. Could you retrace your steps and think about, because it's so easy to, you know, we're talking about insensitivities. It's so easy to get caught up with what you think. It's so easy to prescribe as judge and jury the medicine that you feel goes down easy for you. But to take yourself out of the equation, to take yourself out of the limelight and say, you know what? I never thought about it that way. You know what? I don't know much about your culture. You know what? I don't know much. You know, I've always had my limbs, like you talked about, people who are handicapped. Could you tell me a little bit what it's like to be a day in your life?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like they say, if you want to know something, like have you ever gone to a mechanic and, you know, your car's broke down and you're freaking out because this is your only means of livelihood and you're trying to get an appointment. And you're just exasperated. And then finally, when you relax and you talk to the mechanic, you finally get his attention. And you say, you know what? Can I ask you a question? And they go, yeah. You know, why did you become a mechanic? You know, how is it that you learned? Did you just grow up? Or did you have other members? And sit back. I always say get the popcorn and get the soda because people love to tell you their journey. And sometimes by opening yourself up to ask someone, what is it that their experience is like? How about a black person asking, what was it like to be raised as a European Caucasian as opposed to, what is it like to being a black person if that's who you are? Because you might learn something that you never knew. Or what is it like to come to this country as an Asian American and get your citizenship and learn all of a sudden a whole different culture, be introduced to McDonald's?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing is getting people to get to the – you know, what is it like to get to that wanting the information that really will bless them. And, you know, we're trying to get you to want to get that information that will be a blessing to you. Listen, we only got 13 minutes left. I need to read you something, another thing from the listeners. And it says, and you can help me with this one. Does a salad bowl society work better than a multiple cultural society? Does a salad bowl society work better than a multicultural society?
A multicultural?
Yes.
Well, that's a very engaging question. I'm trying to, it would be good to differentiate the salad bowl thing because comes to mind Caesar salad or a garden salad, which is a very specific just off top. And then multicultural to me indicates what we've been talking about, you know, Jews, Gentiles, Asians, Caucasians, Africans, African-Americans, which there's a difference, Caribbeans, Pacific Islanders.
That's what
he's
saying.
On and
like,
on and
like,
on.
That's what he's saying, like little China, little India. That's what he's saying, I think.
I think what's so beautiful, you know, I have a wife who's a foodie. And, you know, she'll say,
what's a foodie?
Huh?
What's a foodie?
Well, she likes different types of foods, you know.
Oh, me too.
And
I'm
so
a foodie.
She goes
too.
To they call it a foodie. Foodies. Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard that expression, foodie.
No, I never heard of it.
So what's interesting is, well, let's try Vietnamese today. Or you know what? I say, you know, babe, but I like Indian food. You know, I love curries, different types of curries, mango curries, chutney, tamarind curries. I said, and then there's American cuisines. And then there's a lot of people that like Southern food. Every now and then I'll get a hankering, not always, but I want some deep fried chicken, you know, some steak fries, good steak. So the point being is, particularly, and I like to always bring it back to post-COVID, because this is where we're at right now. And to be cross-platformed in terms of multicultures and be willing to check out something that you've never had, as opposed to say, I really like Southern cooking, and my grandma cooks Southern cooking, and if you don't cook Southern cooking, it ain't good. Well, that's not good. But if you allow yourself the privilege of checking out something, perhaps you may like it. And this does much to change your perception of cultures.
See? Yeah. Well, that's good. I thank you for that. I want to just end, as we start to end this part of the show. There was more that went with the little China, little India. It says maintaining their identity without fully integrating. And there's some people that have a problem with that. Like, they don't want people to maintain who, you know, their identity. It's like, that's who I am. This is who I am. So say, for instance, you and I moved to Africa, right? And, you know, we started a business over there. But we would do things like we would celebrate 4th of July. We celebrate, you know, independence, you know, whatever we celebrate, you know, that's more of an American thing as opposed to what they do in Africa. Some people over there may be frustrated with us, but, you know, is that wrong for them to be frustrated with us? Because this is something that we grew up. This is the way we grew up. This is what we know. This is who we are. Is it wrong for
them? I think the first part of his inquiry, which was really cool because it talked about the basic salad and the multicultural salad.
Yeah,
no, it's not wrong to identify who you are. I think where it segues a little off the rails is when you ascribe to, because I am different and because my culture is different, I'm going to impress my thoughts on you. That's where it gets off the rails. We should never feel that we have to change somebody to fit our prescription. That's like going to the pharmacy and you say, you know, I got a head cold. And the pharmacist says, you know what? Let me give you some back cream for people who have back pain. You would say, what is wrong with you? I don't have back pain.
Right. I get that.
Thanks, sweetie.
That's
you know,
good.
I need what I need. Don't, you know, if you
he
have.
He was talking to his wife, by the way, guys. Just want to make sure. Yeah, I know that.
He just came and gave me a kiss, you know, because I needed it. if you go to a mechanic and say, you know, I'm having a problem with my car going into drive. It only goes in reverse. And he starts checking your tires because he says, I like selling tires. Wouldn't you leave that auto shop?
Yeah, because you know.
Don't touch my Ferrari. I'm sorry. I told you what my issue was. And so we can laugh at those things because it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense for us to superimpose the way we do things onto someone else. That's where it's wrong. It's no problem with us identifying, hey, I'm an Italian American, I'm an Irishman, I'm Polish, I'm from the Ukraine. That's okay. But don't say, hey, I like goulash, and therefore put that burger down and eat this goulash. That's where it becomes wrong.
Yes.
You know,
so
that's all.
I want to ask the listeners if they have a moment, a quick moment, to answer the question that Phoenix kind of proposed to you guys in the earlier part of the show. Like, what would, you know, how could we help people
to disarm them?
Yeah, to disarm themselves. What is it? If anyone has any thoughts, you know, just share it with us. You could share it on the page. You could share it in Messenger. You could share it on SoulRecordsRadio@gmail.com. But if you have any, or if you want to text me, my friends that listen to the show through their cell phones, if you want to text me, just text me. How can we disarm people that, you know, in obviously in a respectful way? Because that's the whole purpose of getting them to be respectful. So we need to make sure we approach.
Lead by example.
Yeah, lead by example. And but I want to just let everyone know real quickly that, you know, despite who you are, despite the way that you are loved. You are loved, and you are special to God. God loves you very, very much. And if you are one of those people that are hard on people, you know, I just pray that, you know, that some of these things that may have been said today will really be a blessing to you, to help you to turn the curve, you know, because you can lead by example as well. If people have known who you are all these years and all of a sudden you have a change of heart, that's going to bless someone else. And maybe even your own child saying, wow, if my dad could change, I can change.
Here's something to meditate and grow on. There's no two leaves on the tree alike. And if we think about that for a moment, just to digest that, of all the leaves, that each leaf is unique. Like you say, you all are loved. And it's because you're unique. There's no two snowflakes that fall that's identical. And so, you know, when we get caught up in these social mores and cultures, and I do it my way and the way you do it is wrong, you know, even Jesus with the Samaritan, they did things totally different. Even the disciples were shocked that Jesus was talking to the Samaritan. She brought the whole tribe back because Jesus' words was disarming. It was winsome. They said his words were winsome. And so can we be winsome? Can we say things to disarm people? Can we take to note that we all are unique? Our fingerprints, the FBI still uses it because there's no two fingerprints that are alike. And yeah. And that should be humbling to us, yet unique, and yet make us feel that we truly are special and loved. And then from that platform, then and only then can we start to be a little bit more conscientious to how we treat others.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. Wow. This is emotional for me because I think about children that are handicapped, that don't have, you know, they need people to get off of them. They need people to step up to the plate and be a better person. They need people to be respectful to them because they have no choice. They can't, some of them can't even speak. Some of them, you know, just barely can even move. And for people to be so cool.
Caustic and cold, yeah.
Yeah, to these people. It is disgusting and it's sad. And so I just pray for those people, you know, that they can build up, you know, some kind of resistance or just you know, whatever it is, something to protect them. And, you know, I know some of them do. Some of them have their own way of coping because as humans, we learn to cope. Right, we learn to cope, but it's sad that we have to put ourselves in that position.
And it's worthy of restating again. You know, we have to be careful. you know, the social mores of the day, everybody editorializes. Even the news is no longer news. It's editorialism. People just get on these shows and they just talk. But to be able to say, you know what, let me listen. Let me try to adapt. Let me try to disarm. Let me try to be humble. Let me try to look at this another way. Like you said, those that are handicapped. We've gotten so accustomed to going on social media and ranting. You know, even with the police issues, you know, all police are not bad. But this ranting, it's so counterproductive. It makes people feel all they need to do is vent. But somebody has to give way. You know, somebody has to be flexible. Somebody has to make a change. Somebody has to be willing, like the kid that was in the lunchroom that went over to the cool kid side, who was the science nerd maybe. He just wanted to have his lunch, but yet he shared his biscuit. And they said, cool, man. You can sit at our table anytime you got an extra biscuit. And that's how the change begins. It's little footsteps, little baby steps that can make all the difference in the world. So let's not forget that.
Okay. And last thing, one of the listeners said, resilience is our armor.
Say that again?
Resilience is our armor. We disarm people by building our own resilience. And so
being thin-skinned.
Yeah, not being thin-skinned. Yeah.
Because sometimes we get so sensitive that everything, like they say, stop making a molehill into a mountain.
right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, any closing words? We got a couple of seconds left here. Anything you want to say?
Humility, flexibility, and the willingness to say, I don't know. Can you tell me a little bit more about you? These are winsome words that allow people. People like to talk about their cars. They like to talk about their plants. They like to talk about their animals. Put yourself in a position to be open to ask somebody, can you tell me about your special needs? Amazing what can happen from that. What seeds can grow.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you, and really appreciate you very, very much. And you really are a blessing every time we get on the mic, man. So thanks for coming and hanging out again with us here at Solar Records Radio. And
well, thank you, man, for being the coolest brother I know. There's nobody cool like you, Jorge. I'm sorry. I hate to make you blush. You know, I'm sorry. I apologize. But sometimes just listening to the tonal quality of your voice is like a salve. It's very soothing. And I love when you talk about love and that you're loved. Man, these are, you know, that's something you don't hear men say much. They don't like using the four-letter word love. But when it's used in its appropriate way, how disengaging it can take someone who's engaged.
So
that's it. Continue to be the best version of you, Wardell.
Oh, thank you. I do my best to be my best. And, you know, and God is the reason. And I'm so blessed because of who he is. And I'm so blessed because of the Holy Spirit that I pray for every day to come in and just redirect me, because I know my humanness is going to take me away from God. But because of you and because I've been saved, you know, I just want to be closer to him. So just redirect me and keep me closer to God. And so I'm really sincere. I'm really sincere about these topics and these things that we talk about, because it is so real, it's so beautiful, and I know that's what God is all about. So thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your words of wisdom. And your heart. We appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio, man. Thanks for being a part
thank
of
you.
Our company. All right, man.
Absolutely,
well, God bless.
My brother. Have a great day. Thank you for your comments.
One of the listeners put in all bowls, I agree with Phoenix. There you go.
Wow.
All right.
That's I feel awesome. The love.
Amen. All right, guys. So we'll be back and mixing it up here on Solar Records Radio with Don Fleming. All right, brother. God bless you.
All right.
All right.
but not stir. Just a lesson that I've learned, and so we go.
Okay, Sheep, man, putting it down here on Solar Records Radio. Don't y'all just love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Anyway, guys, I am so blessed. I had such a great conversation with our brother Phoenix. Thanks so much, man. That was fun. And it's just, it's frustrating a little bit, you know, when you talk about, you know, people being disrespectful or being not so kind and just not so caring and just selfish and mean-minded and just insecure and beating up on people because of their insecurity. It's ugly. It's the bottom line. It's ugly behavior. And but, you know, we just have to, you know, do it the right way and try to be a blessing to them and help them, you know. It's not how much you know, right? Yeah. It's how much you care. Anyway. All right, guys. So we're going to mix it up. This is Wardell Potts Jr. We got about another 44 minutes left in the show. And I just can't help it because I'm so hyped up about, you know, just music and good conversation like what we just had. And guess I have my Philadelphia cream cheese sitting next to me. Ooh. And, oh, speaking of Philadelphia, we lost the game last night. Oh, man, we lost to the Cowboys in Texas. I'm in Texas. I'm a Philadelphian in Texas. And we lost. Oh, man. And so I started getting phone calls and people just, you know, coming down on me. And I go, you know, we let y'all have that game. It's not important. We only win the games that are important and mean something. Oh, man, I had to find anything to get out of trouble with my friends that are just, you know, they just like battling with me because I'm always talking about the Eagles and buying. They don't want to hear me talking about buying gear for Texans, so they get so upset. I say, hey, I got an extra Eagles hat. Would you like it? Oh, they get so red in the face. So when my team lost last night, they all called and said all the craziness, said all the crazy stuff they wanted to say today. So that's okay. I set myself up for that, right? That's what I get. But anyway, I just can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I just love, love, love this, you know, doing this and playing this music for you guys. So let's keep it going on a song that I wrote for you. Come on.
You know, baby, all I want to say is, you try to play the field, but he isn't real.
I look at you and wonder why would you even wanna stay? When all they do is lie to you, make you cry every other day. Whoa. How many times have you said I'll be damned before I take him back? Yeah. But then you take him back again.
We love that right there. That's Norman Brown. That's The Way Love Goes on Solar Records Radio. What's up, Mr. Don Fleming's in the house? How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I am good. How are you?
I am good, man. I'm good. Had a great conversation today with Phoenix and just, you know, enjoying this music. That's all. Having a good time, my brother. Having a good time. How about you?
I'm good. I am good. Just taking a quick break now. Just wanted to go ahead and give you a call and just say hello to everyone out there in Solar Records Radio Land who's listening. Just wanted to hope. How was your weekend, by the way?
So let me think. I was doing God's work, and so it was beautiful.
Gotcha.
I had a wonderful time. We lost one of our brothers, and so as chaplains and deacons of the church, our job is to take care of the widow. And so I went to her house, and I cut her grass for her, trimmed around the swimming pool area, and just cleaned it up real nice. And I just felt so I felt really blessed doing it, and because I know she was happy, and so. And so that was great. And then I played for, you know, I played for the church on Sunday, which is always awesome. Just lifts my spirits up. And so that was great. So I had a wonderful weekend.
All right. It's pretty noble. Pretty
Thanks
noble stuff. The fact that you're able to, you know, doing something for someone else, that the reward is a peace of mind, you know, that you're contributing to help someone in a time of need. You know, you don't look for anything in return from that person. It's just something within that, you know, that's very rewarding, and kudos to you on that.
Well, the joy is in giving, and because in giving there's that amazing return on your investment from our Heavenly Father,
and that
right there, that feeling is just absolutely amazing. So it's almost the same as this, you know, Christmas time. You know, you buy your wife or your mate something very special, and you watch them open it, and you see the smile and the joy on their face, and then you feel good that I got that for them. It's the same kind of, you know, thing that you give and you receive simultaneously. So it's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift because it works out for everybody, right? So the gift that just keeps giving. So anyway, so today I was supposed to be leaving at around this time to go, and they keep trying to get me to come and bring my car into the shop, and I keep telling them, you keep on setting up appointments when I'm on the radio. I can't, you know. And then I was making a plan. I said, okay, maybe I can. I could, you know, but I just, it's hard to, you know, for me to, I enjoy being in the studio doing the show. I don't like being on the road doing the show. There's all kind of obstacles out there, so. I just have to pass up on it again. I know he's going to be upset, so sad.
Anyway. Too bad, so sad,
but I got to do what I got to do. This is where my heart is. And so, but anyway, I want to remind people, tomorrow is Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. We chill, and just like the song we just heard from Norman Brown, that's the way Glove Goes. It's smooth. The whole show is smooth like that tomorrow. So, you know, just come hang out with us about 3 p.m. and just, you know, make sure you have, you know, some good food, good company, and we will supply the good music. Oh, man, it's going to be good. Can't wait. So come hang out with us. Yeah.
Sweet.
I love Indie Jazz Day. The music is just so good. And just like LaBelle, we heard him a second ago on the song Why. It is so good. That song is so good. You know, and that's a young artist that we just interviewed. And this guy, he performs with the Whispers and all kind of different artists. He's opening shows for all these well-known names, and when we had him on, I was like, how did you do that, man? How do you, you know? And so what happens is that the people you know, the locals know him very well. And so when it's time to need an opening act, they call him. And so now he's got the gig. Now he's got the gig permanently. He's just traveling around with the Whispers. Like, dude, it's so funny. And his name happened to be LaBelle, like LaBelle and the Whispers, like LaBelle, LaBelle Degree. So they have a good time. They spell their names differently, LaBelle and LaBelle. But they have a good time together when they get together. So, but anyway, that's all I have to say. I'm ready to get back to the music. What about you, sir?
Hey, let's do it.
Let's do it here on Solar Records Radio. Don't forget, today we're mixing it up, so no telling what you may hear on Solar Records Radio. It's just coming at you.
Yeah.
Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. Here we go.
Try.
Radio. Thanks for joining us, guys. Woo-hoo. Let's keep it going.
Ooh, hey, hey. Oh, while we're living in, let me tell ya.
Thank you.
Yeah, baby.
Man, I had to hook that up. That is Layla Hathaway. Beautiful song from her debut album from 1990. Excuse me. Heaven Knows, of course, it's a remake from a young lady by the name of Jackie Graham, who did the song 5 years earlier. But that is, name of the song is called Heaven Knows. And, of course, I had to hook that up. You know, since we're mixing it up, man, we're closing it out, mixing it up. So,
yeah. So I just want to say, man, you got the house rocking, dude. That's what I like when you come on and you start slamming like that. My goodness gracious. we had the Diligence, and that was Oh Honey, and back to, what was that other, Black Ivy?
Yeah, Jamiroquai. Oh, Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai.
Oh, yeah. That's funky. I love that song. Yeah, and Black Ivory, that Will Never Come Together. So,
oh, I love Black Ivory.
Yeah. So we had a nice little segment there. But anyway, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. It's so sad that the show seemed to be ending right when we're having fun. I want to keep going, you know. So, but we'll see you tomorrow on Indie Jazz Day, where we just kind of chill. You know, it's hump day, so, you know, just kind of like middle of week, kind of get our breath, you know, just, let's chill out, just have a good time. And just getting over the hump. Like I said, good food and good company, and we'll supply the good music. You tune in and hang out with us at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, guys.
Yeah.
So you're going to close it out, man. So what you got?
Oh, man. Again, I want to remind everyone to check us out on Facebook. Make sure you like the page, Solar Records Radio. Tell a friend. And also, we can go to solarrecordsradio.com and wardellpodgerjr.com. And what was you going to say?
I posted the app, the Cash app, in the show. So it's there on both pages, in the Solar Records Radio page. And then on my page, it's in the show if you listen to the show. And I also want to give a shout-out to Greg. Thanks, man, for amazing flyers. We appreciate you, brother.
Sweet.
All
well,
right,
I tell you what,
song,
let's go ahead and close this out. Yeah, last song we're going to close out, give you a little Casanova by LaVert. Hey, until tomorrow, you guys have a safe Tuesday. I'm Don Fleming. Of course, Wardell Potts, we are out. You guys keep it locked. When we're on, keep it locked to Solar Records Radio. Peace out.
I'm a total Casanova. Me and Romeo ain't never been friends. Can't you see how much I'm really loving? Gonna sing it to you time and time again. Oh, Casanova. 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 Oh, Casanova.
I tell me what to say.